بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وبه نستعين، إنه خير ناصر ومعين. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، ولعنة الله الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من يومنا هذا إلى قيام يوم الدين. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت، وبقي الليل والنهار، ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. أعظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم بمصابنا بالحسين عليه السلام. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala magnify our reward and your reward for our commemorating and mourning and grieving the tragedy that occurred upon Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and his companions. It is the day of Ashura. It is a day that, first of all, we would like to convey our condolences to the Imam of our time, Imam Sahib al-Zaman, Ajarallahu Farjahu al-Sharif, for the tragedy that befell this day. We, in our limited capacity, read books and hear speeches to understand what took place. But the Imam alayhi salam, with his presential knowledge, can witness what takes place. And he himself says that when I think over and recall the events that took place in Karbala, I cried and I shed tears of blood. And so our condolences go to him and our apologies for the inability to convey in a true fashion what took place. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept whatever efforts we can put forth. Secondly, my condolences to all the mu'mineen and mu'minat on what took place. Today, what I'd like to do is to recite a portion of the events, the narration of the events that took place from the night of Ashura until after Dhuhr of Ashura, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam was martyred. And what I'll be doing is mostly just narrating the events that took place. And this is something that has been done in some cultures with great success, because when we hear the events all in one, then it helps us to form a picture, a better picture of what goes on and what took place, rather than just hearing one or two isolated incidents. We have to remember that this day, it was just at this very time, many hundreds of years ago, when all these events were unfolding, and the greatest crime that would ever have been committed in history was being committed. And so, even though we are separate from it, from our time and our geographical location, our being the lovers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam means that we have hearts which can transcend time and distance to go and meet and be one with the Ahlul Bayt on this day. What is the means of our doing so? It's through our tears. It's through our crying. Let us try to open up our hearts and weep as much as possible. This is the opportunity, my brothers and sisters, to attain paradise by doing so. Nothing is more powerful in terms of getting somebody to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than shedding tears for the Ahlul Bayt and Imam Hussein alayhi salam in particular. Where it is a tradition narrated from the 8th Imam alayhi salam, Imam Radha, that one of his companions comes to him. And Imam alayhi salam wants to tell him the significance of this day. He tells him, يبن شبيب إن كنت باكيا لشيء أو son of شبيب, if you are going to cry for anything, فابكي للحسين ابن علي ابن أبي طالب عليه السلام فإنه ذبح كما يذبح الكبش وقتل معه من أهل بيته 18 رجلا ما لهم في الأرض شبيهون. If you are going to cry for anything, oh the son of Shabib, then cry for Hussein, the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib. For surely he was slaughtered the same way that a sheep is slaughtered. And along with him, there were 18 men from his family who were killed as well. Never has this earth seen anything like it. So by crying, my brothers and sisters, we are just commemorating and we're acting upon the command of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala arwah allati halat bifina'ik. It is the night before the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein gathers his companions together. He wants to convey an important message. Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam reports that their tent was across from him when he hears them gathering together, even though he is very weak because of his illness. He brings him close to hear what they are saying. This is what he witnesses them saying. He sees his father telling the companions, أثني على الله أحسن الثناء وأحمده على السراء والضراء. I praise Allah in the best of glorification, and I praise Him in times of ease and in times of difficulty. اللهم إني أحمدك على أن أكرمتنا بالنبوة وعلمتنا القرآن وفقهتنا في الدين. O Allah, I praise You, for You have honored us with prophethood, You have taught us the Qur'an, and You have made us with deep knowledge in the creed. You do not let us be among the polytheists. And then he goes and addresses the companions. He tells them, فَإِنِّي لَا أَعْلَمُ أَصْحَابًا أَوْفَى وَلَا خَيْرًا مِنْ أَصْحَابِي وَلَا أَهْلِ بَيْتٍ أَبَرَّ وَأَوْصَلَ مِنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِي. I know no companions more worthy nor better than mine, nor any members of a family more joining of the ties of kinship than my Ahlul Bayt. So may Allah reward all of you on my behalf. My grandfather, the Messenger of Allah, told me that I would be taken to Iraq and settle in a land called Karbala, where I would be martyred. That very time has come quite close. And then he tells the companions that this day, tomorrow will be the day when I will be martyred, but I give you permission, all of you, to freely go. There is no obligation on you to stay with me. The night and the darkness of the night is a cover for you. Use it and ride it as a camel, and let each man among you take with him one man from my Ahlul Bayt. So may Allah reward you all. You are free. Go back to your cities and your villages, for these folks are after me, and if they get hold of me, they will not seek others. At that point, the family of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, his brothers, his sons, his nephews, and the sons of Abdullah ibn Ja'far come together. One by one, they renew their loyalty to Imam. The first of them is Abbas alayhi salam. They tell him, لِمَ نَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ. Why should we ever do such a thing, O Hussein? لَنَبْقِي بَعَدَكَ. Can it possibly be the case that we should be alive after you? لا أران الله ذلك أبدا. May Allah never make it so that we live after you. Then Imam Hussein alayhi salam turns to the sons of Aqil. Muslim ibn Aqil had been martyred previously in Kufa. He tells them that it is enough for you that you gave up your father. Suffices you of the loss, the killing of Muslim. Go, for I have permitted you to leave. What is their response? They say, what they say is, what would people in that case say about us, and what can we possibly say to them? Shall we tell them that we left our mentor, our master, and the son of the best of our uncles without having shot a single arrow, or stabbed with a lance, or dealt a sword blow in his defense? No, by Allah, we will never do such a thing. Rather, we shall sacrifice our lives, our wealth, and everything in our families for you. We shall fight on your side till we meet your fate. We loathe life after you. And then one by one, the companions come and declare their loyalty. Muslim ibn Awsajah says, are we the type of people that would abandon you? What excuse shall we produce before Allah for not having carried out our responsibilities towards you? I shall never part with you, by Allah, until I stab their chest with my lance and I strike them with my sword, so long as my hand can hold it. Even if I have no weapon to fight them, I shall hurl stones at them till I die with you. Sa'id ibn Abdullah al-Hanafi says something similar. He says that if I knew that I should be killed, then I die, then I shall be burnt alive, and then my ashes be strewn. This will be done to me 70 times. I shall still refuse to part with you till I meet my death defending you. And why should I not do so, since it is only one time's killing followed by eternal bliss? Zuhayb ibn Qayn stands up and he says, Wallahi, يَبْنَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ لَوَدَدْتُ أَنِّي قُتِلْتُ ثُمَّ نُشِرْتُ أَلْفَ مَرَّةٍ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى قَدْ دَفَعَ الْقَتْلَ عَنْكَ وَعَنْ هَؤُلَاءِ الْفِتْيَةِ مِنْ إِخْوَانِكَ وَوَلْدِكَ وَأَهْلِ بَيْتِكَ. I wish that I be killed by Allah and then brought back to life and then killed again 1,000 times, and that Allah, in return, the Most Exalted, the Great, will let such fighting keep you and these youths from among your Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam alive. The rest of the companions made similar statements, and then Imam Hussein alayhi salam is pleased with them. He invokes Allah and supplicates to him to reward them well for their dedication and their loyalty. What is happening on this night of Ashura? After that point, the night sets in. It is a difficult night for the family of the Messenger of Allah. I cannot imagine what the women and the children are thinking. There's thirst, there's fear of what's going to happen the next day. But when it comes to the companions who sought the glory of martyrdom, how did they deal with such calamities? History reports that they were busy worshipping Allah. لَهُمْ دَوِيٌّ كَدَوِيٍّ النَّحْلِ بَيْنَ قَائِمٍ وَقَاعِدٍ وَرَاكِعٍ وَسَاجِدٍ. It was as if they were bees in a beehive in the noise of their commotion. Some were standing in prayers and others were sitting and bowing. When the enemies would pass, they were amazed at the worship and the noise that was coming from them. One of the enemies of the enemy soldiers hears Imam Hussein alayhi salam recite the verse from the Quran. وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّمَا نُمْنِي لَهُمْ خَيْرًا لِأَنفُسِهِمْ إِنَّمَا نُمْنِي لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. When he hears the Imam alayhi salam recite this verse of the Quran, he says that we, by the Lord of the Kaaba, are the doers of good. He has distinguished us from you. And then Burayr, the companion of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, tells him, O man of debauchery, shall Allah really count you among the doers of good for what you are doing? Come to our camp and repent for your great sins. For by Allah, we are the good ones while you are the bad ones. That man responds sarcastically and goes away. On this night, we are told that 32 enemy soldiers defect from the enemy and join the camp of Imam Hussein alayhi salam when they see their devotion and submission to Allah Almighty. Imam Sayyidul Abideen, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, says that I heard my father on that night while he was sharpening his sword reciting this poem, Ya dahru uffin laka min khalili, kam laka bil ishraqi wal asili, min sahibin wa talibin qatili, wal dahru la yaqna'u bil badili, وإنما الأمر إلى الخليل الجليل وكل حي سالك سبيلي. O time, woe be upon you as a friend. How many do you have at dawn and dusk of friends and those who seek vengeance? And time will never be pleased with leaving them alone. But my affair is with the Mighty One alone, and every living being will go this way towards death. Imam Zainul Abidin hears his father repeat this poem a few times, and he understands its implication that definitely, definitely Imam alayhi salam will be martyred tomorrow. Imam Sajjad is overcome with tears, but he remains silent, knowing that the fate was near and it was decreed. But Zainab salamullahi alayha hears the same poem. She cannot be silent, she cannot bear it. She goes to her brother. She says, Wa thakala, laytal mawtu a'damani al-haya. She says, Woe be to me. I wish that death would deprive me of life right now. My mother Fatima has just died. Then my father Ali, and then my brother Hassan. Now will it be your turn, O Hussein? Imam Hussein consoles her and admonishes her to have patience, telling her, O sister, may Allah console you. Know that everyone is decreed to die, and even those living in the heavens will not live forever. Everything will perish but the face of Allah. And our example is the Messenger of Allah. Zainab salamullahi alayha finds this very difficult to bear. When the women see her weeping, they start to cry and beat their cheeks. Umm Kulthum cries out, O Muhammad, O Ali, O my mother, O Hussein, how lost we are after you. Imam Hussein tells her, O Umm Kulthum, and then he tells his daughters and his wives, O Fatima, O Rubab, pay attention to me. Do this one thing for me. After I am killed, you should not tear your clothing, nor should you scratch your cheeks, nor you should utter anything that will be displeasing to Allah. And then Imam Hussein tells his sister that after me, the Imam is Ali ibn al-Hussein. And she tells her, tell the Shia that they should take him as their Imam after him. At this point, Imam Hussein alayhi salam orders the tents to be pitched in a way that they will be able to fight the enemy. In the dawn time, Imam Hussein alayhi salam sees a vision where the Prophet of Allah accompanies a group of his companions, and he is saying to him, Anta shahidu hadhihi al-ummah. O Hussein, you are the martyr of this nation, and those in the heavens have given good news on account of your martyrdom, and you will be occupying a high position. Tomorrow, come with me and join me, and do not be late, because there is an angel here who is ready, who has descended from the heavens in order to take your blood in a green glass vase. The dawn comes to the day, the next day, it is the day of Ashura. In the morning, after Imam Hussein al-Salam leads the prayers for him and his companions, he stands up to deliver a sermon to the enemy. He praises Allah and he glorifies him, and he says, Allah Almighty has permitted your being killed today. He tells the companions that Allah Almighty has permitted your being killed today, so you should have patience and you should fight well. And then he prepares them for battle. There was 82 horsemen and 2 footmen. The right side of the army was in charge. Who was in charge of that? It was Zuhair ibn Qayn. And the left side of the army was given to Habib ibn Madahir. He and his family members were in the center of the army. He takes the standard and the flag of the army and he gives it to his brother Al-Abbas, Qamar ibn Hashim. He is the one who knows he's going to be the most firm in the battle and the most composed and the most courageous. Who are they facing? They are facing an enemy of 30,000 people led by Umar ibn Sa'd. the two armies come together, and at that point, Imam Hussein alayhi salam looks at the army, and he makes a dua when he sees the size of the army that is opposing them. He says, Allahumma anta thiqati fi kulli karbin wa raja'i fi li kulli shidda. Oh my Lord, you are my trust in every difficulty and my hope in every hardship. You are to be my trust and my treasure for whatever afflicts me. And then he goes on to say, how many difficulties you have removed from me, how many worries you have removed. And he says that you are the originator of every blessing and the ultimate end of every wish. And then he calls for his camel, he mounts it, and then he cries to the enemy. He says to them, O people, listen to my speech, and do not rush until I admonish you with that which I owe you. He tells them that if you accept what I have to say, then you have no reason to fight me. But if you do not accept my reasoning and you do not treat me with justice, then you should know that we will fight you today. And my Lord is Allah, who has revealed the book, and he looks after the righteous. When the women hear his statement, they begin to cry and wail, and their voices grow loud. Imam Hussein tells his brother Abbas and his son Ali Akbar to go to the women and tell them to remain quiet and not to cry. When the women remain silent once again, Imam Hussein praises Allah again and glorifies him. And he tells the enemy soldiers that this world is temporary, and it is Allah has only made it as a temporary abode. So do not let this life deceive you, because it will disappoint whoever trusts and desires it. I can see that you have all set your minds on doing something, because of which you will have caused Allah to curse you and turn His glorious countenance away from you, causing you to be the object of His wrath. So do not do this thing. Know who I am, and then go back to yourselves and ask them, is it lawful for you to violate my sanctity? And then he begins to ask them, am I not the son of your prophet's daughter, the son of his wali and his cousin? Was he not the foremost to believe? Is not Hamza, the master of martyrs, my uncle? Is not Ja'far al-Tayyar my uncle? Have you not heard that the Messenger of Allah has said about me and my brother, these are the masters of the youth of paradise? If you believe what I say, which is the truth, then let me swear by Allah that I never deliberately told a lie, because since I came to know that Allah hates lying and liars. But if you disbelieve in me, then there are those among you who, if you ask them, can inform you of the same thing. They heard the Prophet say these things. If you have a doubt over what I said, do you doubt that I am the son of your Prophet's daughter? By Allah, there is no son of a prophet from the east of the earth or the west besides myself, be it among you or amongst others. Woe be unto you. Are you seeking revenge on me for killing one of you? Or is it on account of your wealth which I have taken from you? The enemy soldiers do not budge. Imam Hussein alayhi salam addresses them and tells them, were you not the ones who invited me to Kufa? They refuse to acknowledge that they are responsible for this. Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, Subhanallah, yes, by Allah, you are the ones who invited me to do this. After Imam Hussein, Zuhair ibn Qayn seeks permission to go and address the enemy. He delivers a speech, but they are unwilling to listen to him. Instead, they meet him with an arrow, and they tell him, shut your mouth, may Allah forever silence your voice, Zuhair. You have bored us with talking so much. After that, it is the time for Burayr al-Hamadani to go. He asks permission for Imam Hussein to deliver a speech to the soldiers of the enemy. And he then praises Allah and tells them, here is the water of the Furat River. Here is the water of the Euphrates River, in which black pigs and dogs are swimming. But you have not allowed the son of the daughter of the messenger to drink from this water. Is this how you show your gratitude to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? They only met him by firing arrows, and they responded to him by firing arrows upon him, forcing him to retreat. One more time, Imam Hussein alayhi salam rides his horse to the enemy. He takes a copy of the Holy Quran, which he puts over his head. He stands in front of the people. He says to them, O people, the book of Allah and the sunnah of my grandfather, the messenger of Allah, are the arbitrators between you and me. He asks them about the sword that he is carrying. the armor that he's wearing and the turban that he's wearing. He asked them, did these not belong to the Prophet of Allah? And they said that yes, indeed, they did belong to the Prophet of Allah. So then he asked them, then why are you going to kill me? They tell him, it is out of obedience to the governor, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, la'anatullahi alayhi. He sees that they are not going to listen to him. He tells them the reality of who Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad is, but they do not listen to him. And then he calls out among them, Umar ibn Sa'd. He says to him, oh Umar, are you really going to kill me just so that that bastard son will make you the wali and the governor of the land of Ray and Jurjan? He says, by Allah, you shall never have such an enjoyment. This is a promise already made. So do whatever you wish, for you will not be pleased after my demise with either this life or the hereafter. Umar is very angry at Imam. He turns his face away from him and he goes away. There is one man among the enemy soldiers who is listening intently to what Imam Hussein alayhi salam has to say. There is a storm going on within his heart. His name is Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi. He is not like the rest of them who are cursing the Imam and rejecting what he has to say. But rather he is torn within him. At this point he goes to Umar ibn Sa'd. Hurr asks him, are you really going to fight this man? Umar ibn Sa'd tells Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi, yes, by Allah, I'm definitely going to fight him. Heads will roll today and hands will be cut off. Hurr tells him, what's wrong with you just letting him to leave this place? Umar says to him that it is our master, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, who has said that we cannot accept any type of offer from him. At this point, Hurr leaves Umar ibn Sa'd. He goes away from the soldiers. Behind him, there is one of his friends who is standing him, and he asks him, what are you doing? Hur alayhi salam, Hur ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi, seems reluctant to fight Hussein alayhi salam. And he does not want to be seen as if he is defecting. And then one of the soldiers sees him moving away from the army. He asks him, are you going to fight him right now? Hur remains silent. He starts to shiver. And that man asks him, if I had been asked who is the most fearless of all the Kufans, I would have said that it's you, but why are you now shivering? Hur says to him that I am giving my soul the option between choosing paradise or hell. Wallahi, I do not prefer anything over paradise, even if it means that I will be burnt alive. He gets on his horse and he spurs it in the direction of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He turns his spear upside down. He holds his shield the opposite way. He comes with his head lowered. He is too shy to look at the family in their eyes because of what he had done to expose them to such hardship. He was the one who brought them to a place where there's no water, no grass can be found there. He says one thing to them in a loud voice, Allahumma ilayka unib. O Allah, to you I surrender. Allahumma ilayka unib fatub alayhi. So forgive me. Faqad ar'abtu quluba awliya'ika wa awlada nabika. Ya ibn Rasulullah, I am the one who has filled the hearts. I am the one who has filled the hearts of your awliya and the children of the Prophet with fear. Then he addresses Imam Hussein, O the son of the Messenger of Allah, Halli min tawba. Is there any way that I can repent over what I've done? Imam Hussein in some response to him, Laqad taba Allahu alayk. Indeed, Allah has already accepted your repentance. Hur's heart is now filled with happiness. He takes a moment to think about what's in front of him, the eternal life of paradise. It becomes clear to him what had happened earlier when he had left Kufa. He had heard a voice telling him, Ya Hur Abshir Bil Jannah. Now he understood how that prophecy was going to be realized. Imam Hussein alayhi salam tells him, you have now acquired a great deal of good and great reward. At this point, Hur goes and addresses the enemy army and tries to convince them over the falseness of their actions. He tells them, you have prohibited this man and his ladies and his children and his companions from the flowing water of the Euphrates, of which the Jews and the Christians and the Zoroastrians drink, and wherein black pigs and dogs are swimming. Look and see how the thirst has subdued them. Evil is the way you have chosen to treat the family of the Prophet. May Allah never permit you to drink anything on the day of thirst. His own people, whom he was with just a moment before, begin to shoot arrows at him, and he is forced to retreat until he stands face to face with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. At this point the battle begins between Imam Hussein alayhi salam and the enemy. Who is the first one to fire an arrow? Who is the first one to start the war? It was not Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein tells his own companions that I detest that I should be the one to start this war. One by one, his companions now go and start to fight against the enemy. Imam Hussein alayhi salam tells them that stand, may Allah be merciful unto you, and be strong. قُومُوا رَحِمَكُمُ اللَّهُ إِلَى الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي لَا بُدَّ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّ هَذِهِ السِّهَامُ رُسُلُ الْقَوْمِ إِلَيْكُمْ. He says, be firm and stand strong. May Allah have His mercy on you. And go and meet the death which is coming to you. These arrows that they are sending to you are messengers of these people to you. But after some time, he sees that 50 men from his companions have been killed. After that point, Imam Hussein alayhi salam cries out when he sees that very few are left. He cries out saying, is there anyone who would defend the ladies of the Messenger of Allah? أَمَا مِن مُغِيثٍ يُغِيثُنَا أَمَا مِن ذَابٍ يَذُبُّ عَنْ حَرَمِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Now it comes a time for the special companions to give up their life. Muslim ibn Awsaja is fighting, and then after some time, there's a large cloud of dust, and when it settles down, it shows that Muslim ibn Awsaja, who was one of the favorite companions of the Ahlul Bayt, is lying on the ground, drawing his last breath. Imam Hussein and Habib ibn al-Dahir go to his side to bid him farewell before he breathes his last in this world. Imam Hussein walks towards him and says, may Allah be merciful unto you, O Muslim. And then Habib comes close to him and he tells him, your being killed is truly devastating to me, O Muslim, but receive the glad tidings of paradise. Muslim, in a very faint voice, tells him, may Allah convey to you too such glad tidings, may He give you martyrdom as well. Habib tells him, had I not known that I will soon be following you, I would have liked to convey your will to me with regard to anything on your mind. Muslim tells him, all I want you to do is to look after this man after me, and he points to Imam Hussein, and to defend him till death. فَإِنِّي أُوصِيكَ بِهَذَا. And then he points to Hussein and he tells Habib, فَقَاتَلْ دُونَهُ حَتَّى تَمُوتَ. Habib tells him that inshallah, I will do exactly this. Muslim breathes his last as he is lying between the two men, Hussein and Habib. His wife cries out from the tent of the women, Wa Muslima, O Muslim, O Master, O son of Awsaja. And then comes time for the other companions to give their lives. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-ali al-azim. One by one they give up their lives, and now comes for the time of the Dhuhr prayers. Abu Thumama looks at the sun and he sees that it is already noontime. He tells Hussein, may I be sacrificed for your sake. I can see that the enemy is advancing towards you, but by Allah, you shall not be killed before I defend you. And I love to return to Allah after having performed the prayers whose time has approached. Imam Hussein raises his head to the heavens and he says, you have remembered the prayers. May Allah count you among those who uphold the prayers and who remember him often. Yes, this is the beginning of its time. Ask them to leave us alone so that we can perform our prayers. But they do not accept this request. So instead, Imam Hussein alayhi salam orders two of his companions to stand guard in front of him and guard him against the arrows. Habib ibn al-Dahir hears the enemy soldiers insult the Imam, saying that your prayer will never be accepted. Habib is very angry upon this. He says that, do you say that your prayers are going to be accepted while the prayers of the Prophet's family are not going to be accepted? The enemy charges him On the horse, Habib defends against Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He fights valiantly, killing as many as 62 men. But there comes a point where he is then struck and his head is severed. Habib, his head has been cut off. Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, "Inna Allahi ahtasibu nafsi wa humat ashabi." It is only to Allah that I complain about what has happened to me and my companions. At this point, it is time for Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi to give his sacrifice. Hur seeks permission from the Imam alayhi salam. He says, oh Imam, can I go? Imam Hussein alayhi salam gives him permission. He fights valiantly, but finally he is struck down. Imam Hussein alayhi salam goes to the side of Hur, who is breathing his last, and he says to him, as he wipes the blood from his face, he says, "Anta al-hurru kama sammatka ummuk." Indeed, you are the free one as your mom has named you. "Anta al-hurru fi dunya wal-akhirah." You are the one who is free in this world and the hereafter. Imam Hussein stands to perform his prayers. There are two who are in front of him guarding him, Zuhair ibn Qain and Sa'id ibn Abdullah al-Hanafi. But the enemy does not let down while they are praying. Sa'id takes so many arrows defending the Imam. After his wounds become overwhelming, he falls to the ground and he is praying. He is saying, "Oh Allah, curse them as you curse the people of Ad and Thamud, and convey my salam to your Prophet and tell him about the pain of the wounds which I have received." And then he turns to his master Imam Hussein and he tells him, "Awafayta ya ibn Rasulillah." Have I been faithful to you, O the son of the Messenger of Allah? Imam alayhi salam consoles him, telling him, "Anta amami fil jannah." You are going to reach paradise before me. After he has performed his prayers, Imam Hussein alayhi salam turns to the remaining men who are left. He tells them, "O honorable men, here is paradise with its gates wide open for you, and its rivers joining one another, and its fruits ripen. And here is the Messenger of Allah and the martyrs who were killed in the cause of Allah. They are waiting for you to join them." He tells them that they are congratulating one another on your account. So defend the religion of Allah and do protect the women of the Messenger of Allah. They renew their allegiance to him. It comes time for the other companions to give their lives. Anas al-Kahili, Amr ibn Junada, one by one they give their lives for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Finally, all of them have gone, and now it is the time for the family of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam to give their sacrifice. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. At this point, no one remains with Hussein except for his Ahlul Bayt. They begin to bid farewell to one another. The first among them who goes forth is Imam Hussein's own son. His name is Ali Akbar. He was a young man, some say 17, some say 19, some say 27. But he was a beautiful person, a mirror reflecting the Prophet's own beauty. His own speech was the speech of the Prophet. His character was the character of the Prophet. All the family surround him and they plead to him, saying that, "We cannot bear your separation." But he does not pay them any attention because he knows what his mission is. He goes, he seeks permission from his father and he gets it. And then he goes towards the enemy saying, "I am Ali, the son of Hussein, the son of Ali. Ana Ali ibn al-Hussein ibn Ali. Nahnu wa bayt Allahi awla bin Nabi. Tallahi la yahkumu fina ibn al-Da'i. Adribu bis sayfi uhami an abi. Darba ghulamin hashimiyin qurashi. By Allah, we will never be ruled by that illegitimate ruler. With this sword of mine, I shall defend my family and I shall strike like a young Hashimi Quraishi." Imam Hussein could not help but his eyes crying with tears, and he shouts at Umar ibn Sa'ad, "What is the matter with you? May Allah cut off your lineage just as you have cut off mine. And you have now respected my kinship to the Messenger of Allah. May Allah send somebody to slay you on your own bed." And then he cries out and he raises his hands to the heaven. Oh Allah, bear witness against these people that a man who looks most like your messenger Muhammad in his physique and his manners and his eloquence has come out to fight them, and they are fighting him. Whenever we used to miss seeing the Prophet, we would look at Ali Akbar. Ali Akbar alayhi salam fights very valiantly. He charges at the right wing, they cannot stop him. He charges at the left wing, they cannot stop him. Whenever a group of fighters met him, he would repulse all of them. When a brave man faced him, he would kill him. He kills a total of 120 people, but the thirst is too much for him to bear. He returns back to his father and he to complain about what is happening. He tells him, Ya Abati, Al-Atashu Qad Qatalani. Oh my father, the thirst is killing me. وَثِقْلُ الْحَدِيدِ قَدْ أَجَهَدَنِي. The weight of this armor is too much for me to bear. فَهَلْ إِلَى شُرْبَةٍ مِنَ الْمَاءِ سَبِيلٍ. If only there was a way for me to get some water. Imagine the response of the father to his son. He says, crying, Oh my son, soon you shall meet your grandfather who will give you a drink, after which you shall never suffer any thirst. Ali Akbar returns to the battlefield, feeling happy about the good news that his father has given him. He still fights valiantly. They cannot stop him. They are not sure, is this Ali Akbar or is this Ali ibn Abi Talib, who is roaring like a lion on the battlefield, as if there are thunderbolts coming in an array from his sword. He keeps on killing them one by one until they reach 200. There's one man named Munqidh who swears that he's going to ambush him. He stabs Ali Akbar in the back with his lance. He hits him with the sword on the head, splitting it in half. Ali Akbar embraces his horse that carries him to the enemy camp. There he becomes the target of the swords of the enemy. One by one they strike him. فَقَطَعُوهُ بِسُيُوفِهِمْ إِرْبًا إِرْبًا. They cut him to pieces. But before that he cries out to his father. عَلَيْكَ مِنِّ السَّلَامِ يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ. My grandfather has given me a drink with his own cup, after which I shall never suffer any thirst. And he says, there is another one waiting for you. Imam Hussein alayhi salam places his cheek on the cheek of his now martyred son. He says, there is no good life, there's no goodness in life after you. Ala dunya ba'adaka al-afa. He takes a handful of the blood of his son and he throws it towards the heaven. He orders his servants to take the body back to the tents. Zainab salamullahi alayha sees what has happened to her nephew. She cries out, Ya Habiba, Ya Ibn Akha. Oh my beloved, oh the son of my brother. She flings herself on the body of her nephew. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. There is more sacrifice from the family. At this point, Al-Qasim, the young nephew of Imam Hussein, the son of Imam Hussein, the son of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, goes to his uncle. He says to him, can you please give me permission to go out to the battlefield? When Imam Hussein sees this young boy coming to him, asking permission, he looks at him and he hugs him very close to his chest. He weeps and finally he gives him permission to fight. Look at this young boy who is coming out to the enemy, his face looking like the full moon, bearing a sword, wearing a shirt and a mantle. On his feet he wore sandals. One of the sandal strings on his left foot was cut off, so he bends down to mend it. As he is bending down to tie his sandal, the enemies at that point decide to attack him. One of them hits Qasim with his sword. This young boy falls face forward into the sand, crying out, Ya Amma, oh my uncle. Imam Hussein comes to him like an angry lion. He strikes the enemy with his sword. The enemy tries to avoid it with his arm, so the Imam cuts his arm off from the elbow. He lets out a very loud scream and there is a lot of commotion as the enemy comes to try to defend him. After some time, the cloud of dust dissipates. Hussein is now seen standing at the head of the young boy, looking at his feet. Imam Hussein says that, بُعْدًا لِقَوْمٍ قَتَلُوكَ. May Allah remove and cast away those people who have killed you. And their opponent on the Day of Judgment will be your grandfather. How difficult it is by Allah. عَزَّ وَاللَّهِ عَلَىٰ عَمِّكَ أَن تَدْعُوهُ فَلَا يُجِيبُكَ أَوْ يُجِيبُكَ ثُمَّ لَا يَنْفَعُكَ. How difficult it is for your uncle to help you, for you to call upon him to help you and he cannot answer your call, or that he answers it and he cannot do much for you. He carries the body of Qasim away, his feet are dragging on the ground. And then he raises his eyes to the heavens. Imam Hussein alayhi salam makes a dua. He says, Sabran ya bani umumati. Oh, be patient, my cousins. Be patient, my Ahlul Bayt. After this day, you shall never suffer any hardship. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyy al-azim. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. When Abbas alayhi salam, the flag bearer of Imam Hussein, sees how many of his family were being killed, he tells his three brothers, Abdullah, Uthman, and Ja'far, go forward so that I can see you supporting the cause of Allah and His Messenger. One by one they go forward and they are martyred, alayhi salam. And now it is time for Abbas. He can no longer bear life after seeing how many of the companions and the member of the household of the family of the Prophet have given up their lives. He can no longer bear to live. He goes to his brother and he asks him. Abbas is asking him, can I go to the battlefield? Imam tells him, Ya akhi anta sahibu liwa'i wa idha madaita tafarraqa askari. Oh my brother, you are my standard bearer. If you are to go, then I will have no army left with me. But Abbas tells him, I am fed up with these hypocrites. I want to seek revenge against them. Imam says that if that is the case, then first go and bring some water for these children. Abbas alayhi salam tries to get some water for them, but they do not listen to him. So he decides to go and get it himself. He can no longer tolerate the situation. He mounts his horse, he takes the water bag. Somehow, despite 4,000 archers firing their arrows at him, they cannot stop him from going and completing his mission. He gets to the banks of the river. He takes a handful of water, about to drink this water, but then he remembers the thirst of Imam Hussein. So he spills the water back into the river. He says, ya nafsi min ba'd al-Husayni huni. وَبَعْدَهُ لَا كُنْتِ أَن تَكُونِي هَذَا الْحُسَيْنُ وَارِدَ الْمُنُومَنُونِ وَتَشْرَبِينَ بَارِدَ الْمُعِينِ. O my soul, after Hussein nobody counts. After him you will amount to nothing. Here is Hussein, it is near the end of his life and you want to drink some cold water? By Allah, such is not a deed that I can perform. So instead, he fills his water bag with water, he rides his horse, he comes back towards the camp. He recites poetry, encouraging himself, telling them that I'm Abbas and my mission is to get some water. I'm not going to fear the evil. They cannot stop him except for by ambushing him. One of them hides behind a tree and then he strikes a blow to the right arm of Abbas, completely cutting it off. Abbas alayhi salam cries out, by Allah, if you cut off my right hand, I shall not cease to defend my creed. And an imam who is true to his conviction, I will defend, a son of the trustworthy Prophet whom Allah did send. He goes on, somehow, despite his right hand being cut off, he continues his mission. They now are not content with just doing that. They ambush him again. They now strike off his left hand. He cries out, Ya nafsu la takhsha min al-kuffari. Oh my soul, do not fear the kuffar. Wa abshiri bi rahmat al-jabbari. Ma'a nabiy al-sayyid al-mukhtari. Qad qat'u bi baghihim yasari. Faslihim ya rabbi harran nari. O my soul, do not fear the disbelievers. Rejoice in the mercy of the Almighty, along with the Messenger, the Chosen One. And now there are a large number of men surrounding him. Arrows are falling on him like rain, piercing the water bag. Putting a hole in the water bag, the water which he had strived so valiantly and courageously to get has now been spilled on the ground. An arrow pierces his chest. A man hits him with a pole on his head. He falls to the ground, knowing that the time has come. He shouts out, Alaykum minna salam, Ya Abu Abdullah. Peace be upon you, O Abu Abdullah. Imam Hussein alayhi salam rushes towards him. And he says, when he comes to him and sees what has happened to him, Alan al-ana inkasara dhahri wa qallat hilati. Now my backbone has been broken. I do not have any strategy left. Now who is left for Hussein alayhi salam? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-ali al-azim. When Imam Hussein alayhi salam returns to the camp, his daughter Sukina greets him. She asks about her uncle Abbas. He tells her what has happened to Abbas alayhi salam. Zainab overhears this and she cries out, Oh my brother, O Abbas, what sort of loss we have to bear after you. At this point, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Imam Hussein alayhi salam is alone. There is no one left with him. He knows that it is his time. He cries out one more time, is there anyone to defend the sanctity of the Messenger of Allah? The only people who are left are women and a young baby by name Ali Askar alayhi salam and his son Sajjad. Imam Sajjad, when he realizes that there is no one there to help his father, he is the one who leans on a cane and comes out of the tent dragging a sword. He is so weak, he cannot carry this sword. He was so sick, he could hardly move. Imam Hussein, when he sees that Imam Sajjad has a sword in his hand, he cries out to his sister Umm Kulthum, saying that, No, do not let him come out. احبسيه لألا تخلو الأرض من نسل آل محمد. Do not let him come out. Let not the earth be deprived of one of the descendants of the family of Muhammad. He orders the dependents to be silent and to stop crying. He bids them farewell. He gathers together his clothing and he puts on the proper clothing that he will know, because he knows that he will be looted. And then he orders that his infant son be brought to him so that he can bid him farewell. He takes his son into his arms and he says, Let me try once more to get water from the enemy. He goes to them and he tells them, Do you not know that I am the son of the daughter of the Prophet? Do you not hear that the Prophet said about me and Imam Hassan that we are the leaders of the youth of paradise? And then he looks at his son who is crying out of severe thirst and he says, Ya qawmu, in lam tarhamuni farhamu hadha al-tif. If you will not have mercy on me, then at least be merciful on this young child. Someone fires an arrow and it hits Ali Asghar alayhi salam on his neck. Imam Hussein alayhi salam cries out saying, Allahumma hukum baynana wa bayna qawmin da'awna liyansuruna faqataluna. Oh Allah, just between these people and between us, they are the ones who called us to help them and now they are killing us. Imam Hussein alayhi salam looks around. He looks to the right and he looks to the left. He sees no one there to help him. He begins to say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyy al-azim. It is now time for the farewell. Imam Hussein alayhi salam addresses the women folk. He tells them, Ya Zainab, Ya Umm Kulthum, Ya Sakina, Ya Ruqayya, Ya Fatima, Alaykunna minna salam. O Zainab, O Umm Kulthum, O Sakina, O Ruqayya, O Fatima, I bid you farewell. His daughter Sakina asks him, she says, O my father, are you preparing for death? He tells her, كَيْفَ لَا يَسْتَسْلِمُ مَنْ لَا نَاصِرَ لَهُ وَلَا مُعِينَ. How can somebody who has no helpers not prepare for death? He now bids farewell to his sister Zainab Salamullahi alayha, to his son Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. He then لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is now advancing towards the enemy, raising his sword. He has no hope of survival. He challenges them one by one to duels. He kills all those who accept his challenges. And then he charges on the army's east flank, crying out, Al-Mawt awla min rukub al-aar, wal-aaru awla min dukhul al-naar. Death is better than accepting and dying in a state of humility. And dying in humility is better than being in the fire of hell. And then after that, he attacks the left flank of the army, saying, أنا الحسين بن علي أليت أليت أن لا أنثني أحمي عيالات أبي أمضي على دين النبي. If you do not know me, then I am Hussein, the son of Ali. I will never bow nor bend. I will protect the family of my father. I will remain on the creed of my prophet. 4,000 arrows are shot at Hussein. He is forced to come off of his horse. Imam Hussein alayhi salam sees that they are now going to take advantage of the opportunity to loot the tents of the women. He cries out at them, Oh, followers of Abu Sufyan, Ya Shi'ata Ali Abi Sufyan, at least if you do not have any religion with you, and if you do not fear the hereafter, then be free in your lives and do not loot the tents while I am alive. Shimr orders them to hold off until Imam Hussein alayhi salam is killed. Imam Hussein alayhi salam goes and fights and he comes back to the tents. He goes and fights and comes back to the tents. The women and the children are holding to his clothes. They are moaning, stunned by the situation. They keep on begging Imam Hussein alayhi salam for water. And they are scared. They are telling him to protect them. Umar ibn Sa'ad wants to put an end to this. He tells his men, Woe to you! Attack him right now while he is distracted with the women and the children. Because if he were to direct his attention to you, you will not be able to survive against Hussein ibn Ali. They begin to fire so many arrows against him. Some of the arrows even come and pierce the tents of the women. They are very scared over what is happening. Imam Hussein alayhi salam comes out of the tents like an angry lion. Anybody who comes up to him and tries to catch up with him, he stabs with his sword. At this point, he comes back to his quarters, saying, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. The thirst is too much to bear. He asks for some water. Shimr cries out, La'anatullahi alay. You shall not have a taste of water until you reach the fire of hell. Another man cries out, O Hussein, do you not see this water of the Euphrates, how it is clear as the belly of a snake? You shall not taste of it until you die of thirst. Imam Hussein alayhi salam cries out, O Allah, cause this man to die of thirst. At this point, Hussein alayhi salam is overcome by the thirst of not having water for so many days. He stands to rest and he stops fighting. At this point, a man throws a stone at him. The stone hits the forehead of Imam. Blood starts to run down the face of Imam Hussein. He takes his shirt up to wipe the blood from the face. But then another man shoots a three-pronged arrow that pierces the chest of Imam Hussein and settles in his heart. Imam Hussein immediately cries out, Bismillah wa billah. Bismillah wa billah wa ala millati Rasulullah. The end is coming near. An arrow comes and hits him in his chest. Another one strikes him. He falls off his sword onto his right side. He raises his head to the heavens. He cries out, Lord, you know that they are killing a man besides whom there is no other son of your prophet. At this point, he puts his hand on his chest. It is filled with blood. He takes this blood and rubs it on his face. And he says that there shall be a time when I meet my Lord and my grandfather, and I will complain to my grandfather. I will say to him, "Oh, my grandfather, these are the ones who have killed me, Asad. Ya jaddi qatalni fulanun wa fulan." But the bleeding saps the strength from the imam. He sits on the ground, feeling that his head is too heavy to keep up. At this point, one of the children from the tents of Imam Hussein comes running out. He is wearing a simple shirt. He is just a child. He grabs a post from one of the tents and he is startled, looking right and left. He wants to come and defend his uncle. A man comes running at him. When he comes to the child, the man leans from the horse and kills the child. There's another child who is looking at what is happening. His name is Abdullah. Abdullah is the son of Hassan. He sees that there is no one left to help his uncle, Imam Hussein. He is only 11 years old. He starts to leave the tent. Zainab alayha salam wants to restrain him, but somehow he manages to wriggle away from her grasp. He wants to go to his uncle. "Oh, my uncle, ya amma, look what they have done to me." Imam Hussein tells his nephew, after hugging him, "Be patient. Yabna akhi, isbir ala ma nazala bik." Be patient over what has come to you. It is goodness, and Allah will reward you and make you join your righteous successors. The enemy is not content with just cutting off the hand of this young boy. Hormallah fires an arrow, killing Abdullah as he sits on the lap of his uncle. Imam Hussein alayhi salam remains lying on the ground for some time. Shimr la'natullahi alayhi cries out to his soldiers, telling them, why are you standing like this? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What are you doing? What are you expecting this man to do when your arrows and spears have wounded him so heavily? Attack him. Finish it off. Imam Hussein alayhi salam raises his hands to the heavens. He begins to pray to Allah. In these last moments, his mind and his heart is solely with Allah. He cries out to Allah, "Oh Allah, give me patience to bear your destiny. There is no God but you, oh Allah. Oh helper of the helpless. Sabran ala qada'ika ya Rab. La ilaha siwak. Ya ghiyath al mustaghithin." And he tells to Allah, "Allahumma hukum bayni wa baynahum wa anta khayrul hakimin." Judge between men and these people. At this point, Zainab, who is looking at what is happening, cries out, "I wish the heavens had fallen upon the earth. I wish the mountains had crushed the valley." She is near Hussein alayhi salam when Umar ibn Sa'd comes close to Imam Hussein with some of his men to finish off the job. According to some reports, it has been 3 hours that Imam Hussein alayhi salam has been lying on the ground covered in blood. It is in these last moments that Zainab comes to him and Umar ibn Sa'd comes to him to finish off. Zainab cries out to Umar. She says to him, "Ayuqtalu Abu Abdullah wa anta tanzuru ilay." She says to Umar, "Are you going to allow them to kill this servant of Allah, Abu Abdullah, and you are just looking upon?" Umar ibn Sa'd does not want to respond to her. He turns his face away from Zainab. He is crying. She tells him, "Woe be to you. Wayhakum. Ama fikum Muslim. Is there no Muslim among you, oh people?" No one responds to her. Umar ibn Sa'd shouts at them, "Put him to rest. Finish it off." No one is willing to advance except for Shimr. Shimr goes to Imam Hussein. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. He kicks the chest of the Imam with his foot. He then sits on the chest of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam realizes what has happened and he says that somebody is sitting on my chest. He says, Ya waylaka man ant, faqad irtaqayta martaqan azima. Woe be to you, who are you? You have now mounted a very great position. Shimmer takes hold of the holy beard of the Imam alayhi salam. He first strikes him with his sword once, twice, three times, 12 times. And then he takes his sword and draws it back for the final stroke. A poet describes what has happened now in the form of poetry, in the voice of Sayyidah Zainab. This comes from the voice of Sayyidah Zainab. She says in poetry, he ran and I ran. He ran towards the killing pit while I ran towards the killer himself. He sat down and I sat down. He sat down on my brother's chest. I sat down unable to bear what I am seeing. He threw and I threw. He threw the dagger from his belt while I threw a sigh of grief from my chest. He severed and I severed. He severed my brother's head while I severed my hope. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The enemy is not content with this. One steals his shirt, the other his sandals, the other his turban. They loot the Imam alayhi salam. At this point, we just go now to the tent of Imam Hussein. The horse of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is coming back to the tent. Maybe the children are wondering. They are thinking that their father is coming back to them. Sakina alayha salam sees that the horse comes with no rider. She hears everyone crying out, Wa Husayna, Wa Muhammada. She cries to the horse and she addresses it saying, Ya Jawad Abi, Oh the horse of my father, I have one question for you. Al suqiya abi am qutila atshana. Was my father, when he died, did they give him any water? Or did they kill him when he was thirsty? Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutmainna, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiya, fadkhuli fi ibadi, wadkhuli jannati. Ala la'anatullahi ala al-qawmi al-zalimin, wa say'alamu al-lazina zalamu ayyamun qalibin yanqalibun.